You can go with me to Genesis chapter 3. I will be there in just a few moments. And we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to be in Exodus. We're going to be in Isaiah. We're just going to be in a number of places this evening. I want to speak to you tonight on the topic, the house of God. The house of God. Before we begin this evening, let's just go to the Lord in prayer once again. And let's ask Him to just speak to our hearts from this. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You that we have the blessed, wondrous privilege to be able tonight to allow You to speak to us. Now, Father, that only comes as Your Spirit not only abides with us, but in His fullness begins to work in our hearts from the Word. We pray tonight for Your wisdom, for Your strength, for Your power. Spirit of God, just come in our midst tonight. Do that which is so necessary in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. For many, many months, it seems as though every message I preach comes back to one basic theme. Or perhaps we could say two. One of those themes has to do with our relationship with God and the fact that God wants to fellowship with you and with me. One of the things we find is that God is the initiator of all such fellowship. It is God who desires to fellowship with us. It is God who has made this possible. Matter of fact, I believe that God created us for fellowship. In Genesis chapter 3, we read there in verse number 8, and it's after the time that man had sinned, but we find something out that had taken place. It says in verse number 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." We find that there is something that takes place in the evening of that first day of sin whereby God comes to fellowship with them. Now, I believe tonight that God knew that they had sinned. I believe that God understood that. I don't believe God was in the dark concerning that one bit. But nonetheless, He came in the cool of the evening. I believe that shows us something about our God and about why He created man. And that was for the purpose of that kind of fellowship. As they experienced the day and they came to that time of restfulness in the evening and they would meet with God, they could stop and consider all the greatness of God and what He had accomplished in their lives that day. No doubt as they beheld the different animals and perhaps got to meet different ones and have that time with them, they could come back to God that night and marvel at all the differences that there is in that kingdom of animals and consider the wonders that God had made as He brought all these creatures into being. Perhaps in the evening they might have been out and they had discovered as they had toiled a little bit in breaking the sod that there was different kinds of soil underneath, and perhaps discovered that there was also gems and other types of things that we now considered valuable or perhaps even invaluable. But they began to marvel at the God that had created all of those things. Perhaps they picked up a rock, and as they picked it up and the sun had shone upon it, they saw the prism of light begin to disperse in different directions. And they could behold the wonders of God. And in the evening they could talk to Him about it and give Him honor and give Him praise. I believe God's intention for you and me is to bring Him praise and to give Him the honor that is due to His name. We find that God, I believe, created us to begin with that very concept in mind. I believe also because of sin, we found that we were away from God. We were hiding from Him. Rather than to come into fellowship with Him, Adam and Eve, they chose to run from God. But we find God makes a means of reconciliation. As we study the book of Genesis in chapter 3 especially, we note that God in His wondrous way of reconciliation brought to them the clothing of an animal to place upon their now what they knew were naked bodies. And of course, you and I know that that is a wonderful picture of a slaying of an animal. Of the first thing to ever die was for the purpose of clothing Adam and Eve. By the way, I do not believe in the theory of evolution. I do not believe that that can be something that you and I as God's creatures can believe. Some of God's people say, well, I believe that evolution came about in a slow process, or not a slow process, but a quicker process, and it had to do with the days of creation. Evolution always speaks of death and dying, and death and dying never occurred until sin came on the scene. And the first thing that ever died was for the reconciliation of man back to God, that he might stand before God clothed in righteousness, because the blood had been shed for the sin that had been made. And so we find that that means was brought about by God. The desire of God, I believe, is not only to bring us to reconciliation, but as we discover with the people of God in the book of Exodus, God wants to abide with us. Exodus 25, verse number 8, tells us the whole purpose for the building of a tabernacle in the wilderness. And it says, "And let them make me," he says, "a sanctuary." A sanctuary is something that is set apart to be holy. It is sanctified, if you please. And he says, here's the reason, that I may dwell among them. Sometimes you've heard me pray and talk about desiring the presence of God. It is greater desire of God to have His presence among us. It is His desire to make Himself known to us. And He said, I want you to make a tabernacle. I want you to make this thing that is a sanctuary. I want you to make this something that is set apart just for me, that I may dwell amongst you. However, man has spent most of his days hiding from God. As we think about that structure called the tabernacle and later called the temple, we find that there are three designations that are given to us throughout the Word of God that I believe are of worthy note as we look at the temple of God, the house of God, if you please. First of all, I want to share with you, found in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7, verse number 12. In that chapter, in that verse, we find that God refers to His house as a house of sacrifice. Allow me to read that verse. It says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice." If we're going to have fellowship with God, there must be, first of all, this cleansing by the blood. That only comes through the sacrifice. As you might remember, as you study the tabernacle in the Old Testament, it was all about one thing, really. And that was to bring in the lamb, to slay the lamb, to take that blood, and to eventually get it upon the mercy seat within the Holy of Holies. It was that which would give to the nation of Israel its salvation. It was through the blood of that lamb. We find in the book of Genesis, there was a lamb that was slain for every man. We find as you come to the book of Exodus, as they were leaving the land of Egypt, there was a lamb that was slain for every family. At this particular juncture, we find that God is saying there is a lamb that is for the nation of Israel. But when John the Baptist looked up and saw Jesus Christ coming back, I believe from the hour of temptation, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." What a glorious lamb. He became our sacrifice. He was the one that gave His life that you and I might have our sins paid for. His blood was shed that you and I might have that in our place. But not only is it a sacrifice of blood, but I believe also it is a place where we sacrifice our self-will for the will of God. It is that place whereby the Jews said, it's not by what I want to do, but by what God wants to do. And thus we call it a house of sacrifice. When you come to the New Testament, you find the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer." He's referring back to the book of Isaiah where it says, "Even then will I bring to my holy mountain, make them joyful in my house of prayer." It is a place where God wants His people to come to commune with Him. Not only to bring the blood of the Lamb, but also a place of communion with God whereby they could draw nigh to Him and make their requests known to God. In that prayer of Solomon, as he's praying and asking God to bless that temple that's now been constructed, and God answers him back, we find that God says, "If you find yourselves out of my will, you find yourselves in captivity in another land," He says, "if you will turn your face even towards this my temple and pray and ask God to forgive," He says, "I will do so and I will bring healing to you." It is in that chapter, in verse number 14 of chapter 7, He says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," He said, "then will I hear." It is God's desire that you and I come to this place whereby we have this house of prayer. It was in Old Testament times a place not only of prayer, but may we say in prayer of confession. Confession of sin, asking God to forgive. Are we not, even in our day, a people who are constantly in need of confession? But we find also in the book of Psalms, in chapter number 93 and verse 5, He says this, "Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." So the house of God is not only a house of sacrifice and a house of prayer, but it is a house of holiness. It is set apart for a holy God. It is set apart for those who enter in to walk in to receive holiness and to walk out with holiness in their heart. God has said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." It is His desire for our lives to have that about it. To walk in the holiness of God. But what I really want to share with you tonight is not found in that Old Testament tabernacle that no longer stands. Though there be a wailing wall that is left of it, though one day the Jew will reconstruct that. But in our day we find that the Bible teaches us a very, very important fact. And that is that you and I, we have become, if you're saved tonight, a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." And so that which was Old Testament, that which was a house of sacrifice, that which was a house of prayer, that which God calls a house of holiness, all of that, may I suggest to you tonight, has been transferred to this house of our body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so it is this temple, our body, that is to be sacrificed. No wonder He says unto us, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." God has given us a body to use for His service. It is not for us. We have great problems with the flesh. We have great problems as it's trying to dictate to us. But Bible tells us we are to die to self. We are to allow that body not to be used for our own pleasure, but for the pleasure of God. It's His. It's His to use as He so desires. As we give that unto the Lord, it's no longer ours. For He has bought it with a price. It is to be sacrificed unto Him. But may I suggest to you also, not only is this our body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, to be given unto Him for whatever purpose He wants, but this body is given to you and I for another purpose, as the house of God in the Old Testament was to be a house of prayer. This flesh can become that avenue by whereby we can commune with God. Whereby we can have that access to God and we can seek Him in prayer and ask Him to move and to work. There were 10 days that the disciples met together after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know what they prayed as they were in that upper room. We do not know the thoughts that went through their minds, but we do know this. They were in one accord and they were in one place and they were praying. And they were allowing God to use that body in those 10 days to lift their hearts one after another, perhaps together. I do not know how they prayed, but they sought after God and God poured out wonderful blessings. God's given us this body for a purpose. It's not our own any longer, but it's to be used for glorifying Him in the matter of speaking forth our prayers unto Him. Much can be said about our praying, and those another message all in itself, or many messages on what we ought to pray and how we ought to pray. But there's something that needs to certainly be done, and that is that this body needs to be used for prayer. It needs to be used for that. And then one last thought, as we saw that the house of holiness for the house of God, God has made us and given us this body to walk in holiness. For His purposes, for His glory, God has given us this body. Amen. You know, we look in the Old Testament, we see our countertypes. We look back there and we see things that are in samples. And we see the tabernacle that is in the wilderness and is a picture, I believe, much of what you and I are, as now He what comes to dwell within us. He wants every nook and cranny. He wants us to submit to Him and to allow Him to have that access into our lives. For He came to what? That tabernacle to dwell amongst men. But now, may I suggest to you that it is even greater. It's not amongst us, it's in us. It's not that we can go to a certain place and visit God. It is now that He be in us. He be with us all day, all the way. What a blessedness we can have in fellowship with Him. And yet we ignore Him, yet we place Him aside, yet we seek after our own rather than submit unto Him and allow Him that access to us. What a beautiful place. May God do whatever it is He's got to do to humble us, to bring us to where we are that kind of temple.